What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Boeing ground some of its 777 jets after a scare in the sky over the weekend. We'll look at which airlines are impacted by the move. Plus, the U.S. death toll from COVID-19 is set to hit 500,000. We'll look at when a single-dose vaccine could be authorized. And a closer look at the efforts by companies to recruit and retain Black workers.
Many of them feel little support or opportunity to advance, and that is contributing to some very high attrition numbers.
It's Monday, February 22nd. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Boeing has told airlines to stop flying its wide-body 777 aircraft equipped with a specific type of jet engine. It comes after a United 777 saw one of its engines break apart shortly after takeoff over the weekend near Denver. The FAA said it would order immediate inspections of those jets. The WSJ's Andrew Tangle covers aviation.
The engine was produced by Pratt & Whitney, a unit of Raytheon Technologies Corp. The National Transportation Safety Board in the U.S. has said that they've initially identified two fractured fan blades in that engine, one of which was nearly entirely broken, the other about half broken off. This is the third such incident in recent years. Most recently, prior to Saturday's engine failure, there was a similar incident in Japan in December. And prior to that, there was one involving a United Airlines 777 in 2018.
United is the only airline in the U.S. using that engine and said it had taken 24 planes out of service. Overseas, Japan Airlines, All Nippon Airways, and Korean Airlines have also grounded flights. Boeing said it's working with U.S. and Japanese regulators. Engine maker Pratt & Whitney said it was working with investigators and airlines on revised inspections. The COVID-19 death toll in the U.S. is expected to reach 500,000 today, about a year after the first confirmed death in the country. Later today, President Biden will hold a moment of silence and a candle lighting ceremony at the White House. And later this week, an FDA panel will meet to decide whether to recommend authorization for emergency use for Johnson & Johnson's single-shot vaccine. President Biden's nominee for Attorney General, Judge Merrick Garland, will have his Senate confirmation hearing today. Among the points he is expected to address is a pledge to confront the rise in extremist violence and racial discrimination. Restaurant software provider Toast is planning an IPO that could value the company at around $20 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. The company provides tech to help restaurants with their operations. Let's focus on the U.S. bond market. The sharp increase in government bond yields is pressuring the stock market and forcing investors to more seriously confront the implication of rising interest rates. Markets columnist Mike Bird is joining me to discuss all of the above. Hi there, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Mike, first, let's get into the why. What's behind the lift in bond yields?
The lift in bond yields is pretty straightforward. Basically, investors have a much more positive view of the economy, the US economy in particular, but the global economy generally, than they did in, say, March last year. US bond yields have recovered simply because over time, people expect interest rates to be higher because of the strength of the economy, causing the Fed to eventually, sometime down the line, start raising interest rates.
So, Mike, on the surface, this seems so positive. What's behind the caution?
I think the caution is mostly down to the pricing of other assets. Now, the US bond market is this enormous market. As I say, it's priced off what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And as a result, a lot of other assets start to get priced. A lot of other markets are influenced by what's happening in the US bond market. And that means stocks, for example, look very expensive if you were to imagine that bonds had a higher return, higher yield going forward from here. If you expected that to happen, stocks might look too expensive and might be ripe for a sell-off. So it's why it's a little bit worrying to some investors who are in riskier assets like stocks, like corporate bonds. They might be a little concerned about this.
Mike Bird, have a good week ahead. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Just ahead, our efforts by corporate America to diversify the workplace working. We'll discuss after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We've talked a lot lately about corporate America's efforts to make its workplaces more racially diverse, but progress toward that goal has been slow, and now there's new research revealing some of the factors keeping Black workers in particular from advancing. Let's bring the Wall Street Journal's Vanessa Fermins into the conversation. She's the Deputy Bureau Chief of our Management Bureau. Vanessa, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Vanessa, to start things out, let's get a reality check. What does this new data tell us about who is working and in what capacity? Because this is not something that's been studied this closely until now.
Right. So, yes, this new research from McKinsey, it really gives you one of these first inside looks into what's happening at companies. The data covers basically two dozen of the country's biggest companies. They're almost all Fortune 100 companies. They represent nearly 4 million employees. And you see basically the pipeline data. You see how employees of every kind are faring in promotions, in hiring, in attrition, how many are at the entry level and at every level of the management ranks. And what you see is that Black Americans are being hired in large numbers at the very bottom of the corporate ranks. They're being hired in particularly large numbers in hourly jobs in the field, which are typically low paying. And they're also being hired at decent rates into the entry level of white collar corporate roles. But the problem is what we see in the data is that many of them feel little support or opportunity to advance, and that is contributing to some very high attrition numbers. So ultimately, what gains, small gains that have been made more recently in promotion and hiring, are being largely offset by these attrition numbers.
Well, let's talk about that question of support further. What does the data show about the issues that Black workers are facing, and are there some solutions in place?
You see in the survey data that Black workers, in much higher numbers, not only than their white peers, but other racial minorities, feel they don't feel the support to advance their careers. You see that, for instance, many employees believe their workplace isn't a meritocracy. That's across the board. We're talking about 50% for all employees, but just 29% for Black workers. And Black workers are also nearly twice as likely as other minorities to perceive that their race makes it harder to achieve their career goals. And you see also in slightly lower numbers, Black workers finding sponsors, that is higher up executives essentially, there to advocate them for promotions.
I want to ask you about this idea of sponsorship. How important is it?
We're seeing that it's actually quite important. You hear a lot about mentorship, and many employees have no shortage of mentors. That is sort of informal advice from other largely higher up professionals in the same organization, giving them advice, but it's all informal advice. It's over coffees. A sponsor is something much more. They're an actual advocate for you in those rooms where the hiring and the promotion decisions are made. And they're key to anyone in moving up and advancing their careers. And this is an issue where actually, all employees actually could use more sponsors, but Black professionals perceive it even more.
What about bringing in a diverse workforce to a company, especially at the ground floor?
The challenges actually start long before companies are even hiring many Black Americans. One of the issues is geography. There's a mismatch in where some of the high growth areas in terms of jobs are expected to be over the next years and where most Black Americans live. For instance, you see nearly 60% of Black Americans live in the South, while far fewer live in the West. In California, where we know is home to the booming tech industry, less than 6% of the population is Black. Their numbers are relatively small in the kinds of cities that you expect to see the most job growth over the next decade, such as, you know, big new economy hubs like Austin, and then some of these really fast-growing second-tier cities like Provo, Utah, Reno, Nevada. And so that's something that companies need to be mindful of. If they are going to increase their pipeline, geography has to be at least one consideration.
And finally, Vanessa, based off of your conversations, based off of your reporting, what does the picture look like going into the future?
Well, you see a lot of companies really redoubling their efforts to look at diversity and inclusion and figure out why they haven't been able to move the needle more. And I think you see there is a collective acknowledgement that the efforts more recently have not had the effect that companies have had hoped for. And now they're looking more closely. You see companies doubling down on commitments to hire more workers at every level of the organization. And you see that they recognize that attrition is a problem and that they need to create more pathways. But I'm really speaking about the largest companies in this country. And that is where we see the most sophisticated HR departments, the most sophisticated use of metrics and examination of the issue. So if these are the numbers that you see for those companies at the top, you can imagine what they look like more across the corporate landscape.
The Wall Street Journal's Vanessa Fermans. Vanessa, thank you for the discussion.
Thank you.
And finally, as some people have undertaken house renovations during the pandemic, others have looked to a slightly smaller hobby to fill time at home. There's been a big rise in the popularity of tiny one-room modeling kits. You could call them miniature dollhouses. They're reminiscent of the mini cars and boats that have been popular for generations. These tiny kits include coffee shops, ice cream stores, RV campers, and greenhouses. One company has seen a 650% increase in year-over-year sales of its miniatures kits. But while there is fun, there's also a stressful side to this, as they require a lot of patience and dexterity when putting together so many tiny pieces. That's what's news for Monday. As always, we're back tonight with a new show. Until then, we'll bring you the news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thank you for starting the week with us, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.